Hi, and welcome to episode one of Digital Outbox. My name is Ian.
Hi, I'm Shaquille, and we're both really excited to bring you our podcast, which will cover the latest tech news from all around the world.
Indeed, super excited and super nervous. It's the first time we've done this. First time of podcast.
And 99 episodes later, we are still super excited. Yes, it is the 14th of December, 2011, and this is episode 100 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along to our special bumper episode 100. I am Chris, and today I am joined by Henry. Hello, Henry.
Hello there.
Nice to have you along, and you may have spotted the music. And also Ian's along for the ride.
Good evening.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Cut it out.
I have a glandular problem.
Shall I say my name again so you can do my intro as well? Thank you. It wouldn't be the same without it. I've got a perfect puzzle for you. Well, I mean, we're nothing if not slick. We've proved that on many, many occasions. But yeah, still happy to be podcasting to the nobodies.
Don't say that. The only thing I will have to say, we are missing one important person. So Shaq, who started this thing off with me a couple of years or 2.5 years ago, he's fell out of love with podcasting, and he couldn't make it tonight, which is a bit of a shame.
He broke our hearts. We didn't have Return of the Shaq.
No. And I'm still not, even though I've got the audio queued up, I ain't playing that again. As I said earlier tonight, never have I felt more British than when we sang along to the Return of the Shaq.
No, never happening again.
It was wrong in so many ways.
Yep, can't believe that we made it this far. But anyway, we've got a podcast to get out, so let's get one out. And we're going to start today with the new Twitter. So you've called it new Twitter.
Well, they called it new Twitter.
Did they? Okay, they called it. I haven't actually seen it in the flesh because
next story
rolled it out to me. So, but they have. You've got it, haven't you, Ian? You said.
Yes, I have it.
So they lied to me. They said if I updated the app, then I'd get it on the website. And I updated the app, and I haven't got it. So there.
So the app you're talking about is the new iOS app that came out. Which is, it's changed a lot of the stuff I used to love in the old, Twitter app is gone. And they've really dumbed it down. It really is, I think, a poor relation to what the app they used to have. But I think it's a sign of what they're trying to target. They're trying to target that, not the kind of tech user, but they're just the very simple, give people a very simple interface and not much more. So I was quite disappointed with that.
But isn't it just the timeline with content in line now, rather than having these fly out panels and stuff to deal with content?
Kind of, but like DMs are now really hard to get to. It's almost like they don't want you to use it for DMing people.
Right.
So, but the new Twitter is it's a redesigned website, and they've now focused on, there's like four main kind of streams. There's the home timeline. Which we can see your retweets and your normal tweets, etc., and you'll see images.
So that's the same as it's always been, other than it's got inline content now rather than these panels and stuff.
Yep. You have the connect tab, which is the at symbol. So this is what they've said, is this is the easiest way to reach others. You can put a username in, you can retweet from there. You'll see where you're being mentioned. You'll see all the conversations in there. So it kind of filters out your content and your conversations that you're having with other people from the main timeline, which could be, hundreds and thousands of tweets. And that kind of works okay. The third one is Discover, so that's the hashtag. And they're talking about this as if, it's like a big new thing.
Well, they've never officially recognised the hashtag, have they?
No.
I know they've used it, and you can search for using the hashtags, but I don't think it's ever officially been baked in.
And now it has. So you can now use a Discover symbol to actually see what's happening around the world, and I guess that's where you'll start to see all your trending topics and all that will appear in there. So the final one is the me profile. So the group everything that happens about you in one specific area, favourites, media, tweets, and they seem to be going for this compelling stories. I don't know if you remember, about a month ago they started this storytelling kind of idea, and they were featuring prominent people that had done a tweet. And there was things like, you know, a guy had done a tweet about his mum's bookstore and how he wishes people would go down there and actually buy and keep it open. And it talked about how the last two Christmases have been the best ever. And they seem to be promoting this, you know, how to connect with the real world. And there's also, as with everything else, bigger branding pages. And it was an okay rewrite on the web, but I think the iPhone client, I mean, go and choose a different iPhone client if you really want to use Twitter on the iPhone, would be my advice.
And it's not just a matter, it's not just being stuck in the mud again. Just, you know, difference and don't like it yet, but maybe there's benefits to it.
I thought the website was a bit cleaner, but I really don't like the iPhone app.
But I didn't. I hated the panels, and they're still a pain in the ass when they go wrong, you know.
Yeah, I quite like the panels though. Certainly on the iPad, it's great. You know, that kind of. The iPad's like that way.
Definitely a better implementation of panels.
Yeah, things worked quite well for me.
I like to panels on the iPad as well. And the only reason I've not been using it recently is I use the. I use that service that I can't remember that syncs my tweet timeline between all the different clients. So I've been using Twitterific because I like going from a Mac, and then when the next time I fire it up on the iPhone or the iPad, it knows where I've been.
Yes, if anyone's listening that knows these things, we want that baked into all of them. I want official service like that, because it's a pain going back through all the timeline. Anyway, so that's let's see. Anyway, I can't comment on it because I haven't seen it yet.
And TweetDeck also, I wasn't a TweetDeck user. I don't know if you guys were. It always just seemed too much for me.
Well, I didn't. I mean, it was more.
No,
meant for people
I did like TweetDeck actually.
So have you tried to rewrite then? So it's been rewritten for Mac.
No, because I mean, really, I don't use Twitter on the. I mean, I use the my MacBook Pro so rarely nowadays that I just don't use TweetDeck at all. And actually, I was getting more happier with the with some of the more recent native Twitter clients. So I've not tried it at all.
So it's an interesting change. I definitely think they're trying to target a different community now. They know that it's almost like they really targeted the tech savvy and built up a massive audience. Then went to celebrities, and they now seem to be going for the kind of, it's almost like the simple user and the mums and dads and getting them on board.
And we've also had Spotify releasing their app directory this week. They announced it a while back, but we have actually seen it being rolled out gently over the last few days. I have it and I really like it. Basically, on the left-hand side, there's a new section underneath or above your playlists that now it's called Spotify Apps. And you click on it and you can select from a number of different apps that are there at the moment. And they're all sort of music related. So, for example, there's a Guardian one which shows all the Guardian's recent reviews of albums. And you can click on the album and you can actually listen to it. Excuse me. So it makes a lot of sense. And what do you think, Ian? I think it's great.
Well, for me, I'd fell out of love with Spotify. I mean, I stopped using it. I was finding it difficult to find music. There's lots there, you know, millions of tracks. I just couldn't find content. In Spotify, see, when you see the front end, it's just like loads of music, and there's charts, and there's the most played, but the most played is just the same as the iTunes chart and just the same as the Radio 1 chart. There's nothing really. How do I find all that nice new cool music? Because that's what everybody wants. You get 9 million tracks or you know 15 million tracks, but give me the good stuff. And I think this is a great way of doing it. You know, show me what Guardian's reviewing, show me what the Rolling Stones playlists are, show me the Billboard charts. It's just a great way of getting new content.
The biggest criticism of Spotify since its inception really has been its lack of music discovery. So it's great for playing tracks, but just for finding new music, it's always been criticised. And I mean, they have done a few things over the weeks and months that have improved it. Things like having similar artists able to click through, but no one really used that. So this is the first and well one step move to solve all of that, because they've actually left that up to other people now to figure out how you can spread around different types of music. So brilliant, good move. Sold for me. I'm a subscriber and I will continue to be so on the strength of these kind of moves.
I didn't know you're a subscriber still.
I do the low cost one, so I have it on my PC without adverts and unlimited number of plays, because they did get they basically restricted the free down to the point where if you particularly liked an album, then they would stop you listening to it after a couple of plays, basically. So that's why I went unlimited, and I will continue to be so. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm definitely thinking of subscribing again with this. I mean, it's such a smart move, really. I mean, you saw how brilliant it was for Facebook when they opened up their APIs, and I think it's only can only be good for Spotify, really.
I can't remember the exact figures, but they've got I think it's 2.5 million paying subscribers now. So there's some money sloshing around there, and it's obviously kicked off in America, and I think it's been quite successful. So fingers crossed, yeah, this can move it forward even more.
How much of their revenue they're going to actually be able to keep, though? With the big four music companies seem to want just about everything that you'll ever charge for streaming their music.
I think so. Eventually they'll come on board with it as well. I think they'll have to. And maybe these apps are a great way of doing it, because you can have an app for a particular artist, and I imagine you can grab some stats out of it and things like that. So who knows what's going to happen, but it's the start. It's the start. Right. Bad news for... rural Britain, but super cities, super connected cities we're going to have starting from, is it next year, or they're starting to develop it up from next year?
Well, they've said next fiscal year, which gives them a bit of scope, because it's 2012-2013.
Yeah, so over the next couple, probably, the start of. They're basically releasing 100 million to basically boost up some cities to make them sort of 100 old megasecond broadband more widely available, which is great if you're in the middle of town, but not so good if you're living in the middle of nowhere, because they're not really doing anything on those front. They're going for the low hanging fruit, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. And you mentioned the rural communities, and there was that, you know, they have, although they've earmarked money for that, they've made it so difficult for local authorities to actually get hold of that money and actually deliver on it, that you know, a year on, and there's you know, a fraction of any sort of money. A study came out this week just to say that very little money has actually been spent of the money that they've even earmarked, and even that wasn't a lot. So although this might be great for cities, it does depend how quickly they can actually get it rolled out as well.
Bugs me a little bit. I mean, I think it's great. I think we need to do this, and I think for the middle of cities, it's very important as well. But I think that cities are far, far more attractive to companies for private investment. It's rural areas that are never going to see that kind of private money. So that's where I think public money should be used more. It's a bit like your bus service. You know, the middle of town, buses pay for themselves, but it's getting the buses out to rural areas that's the problem, and where they have to subsidise the service. So I think it's a similar thing here, and it's a bit disappointing that they're still pumping more. I mean, to be honest, the amounts they're talking about, they're big figures, but they're nothing on the grand scheme of things. Probably not enough to actually get done what they want to get done. But we shall see through the next year. I mean, Ian, you're sat there and you're happy with your speeds anyway, aren't you? You've got what you need.
I've got 50 meg just now. I could pay another, I think, £7 and be 100 meg.
So you're already in that super connected state. How does it feel?
Well, the nice thing is I've got lots of choice, you know. So yeah. If I thought Virgin was too much, or I was having issues with them, I could swap over to, you know, BT Infinity and get, you know, probably like, what, 30, 40 meg? Does that go up to?
You know, I think
they're talking about
100
meg within the next sort of year or so. So they're talking about those kind of speeds as well.
I wonder whether you use your internet differently from even someone like me, who's got a relatively fast connection on the scheme of things. I'm not down on your 1 meg connection, so... wonder whether it does open up things that maybe I think I can't be bothered with. It probably does, to be honest.
There's just certain things I just won't shy away from downloading because of the size. Streaming is instantaneous a lot of the time. There's just a lot of things, and you can do things concurrently. You know, there's no need to worry about, you know, is my Mac Mini downloading something? Is my iMac doing something? Is there, It just all works.
You can all just do it, yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. We've had Ofcom releasing their plans as well for the next couple of years.
The guff.
Basically.
Guff.
So this is for the spectrums that are coming available because we're all moving over to digital TV.
Yes.
So they're going to use that spectrum for mobile internet, basically.
And what they've basically done is it's that they're planning for the next couple of years. So they're focusing on making sure the Olympic Games and the airways are clear for that, which is fair enough. They're also tackling their 16% of Scotland and 5% of Wales has a non-existent mobile coverage. So they're wanting to fix that as well. They're wanting to keep TV on demand content. They're doing the same scrutiny that the standard broadcast receive is also going to be done on TV on demand content. So they're actually going to focus a lot more on that area. And as
but isn't
you said,
TV on demand really just TV in delay? So surely the same complaints that you get on BBC One is going to happen on iPlayer.
I'm not so sure. I'm wondering if it applies to a lot more of the channels, on Sky. I don't know. I don't know what's defined as a standard broadcast and a TV on demand. It's hard to say.
There's a massive overlap at the moment, isn't there?
You know, if we put a video up, is that TV on demand? If we said it's an episodic every week, I don't know. I don't know what it entails. The bit that was, I guess it reflects what you were talking about with the broadband. In these focusing the cities. We're talking about doing this auction next year for 4G. But buried in this paper, they were basically saying we don't think it will be nationwide until 2015, which feels a long time away when you're starting to see some European countries rolling out this year and next year, and the same in America.
Well, I think we got too far ahead of ourselves with 3G, didn't we? We jumped the 3G wagon before it was really ready. There were no handsets, there was no support, there was nothing. And we had this amazingly expensive 3G network that basically phone companies have been trying to recoup the costs of for years and years and years. So obviously they don't want to jump to 4G because they've still got to pay off 3G.
Well, no, and I think there's a danger here that the government think that auctioning off 4G is going to make a similar sorts of money as auctioning 3G did. And there's, the world's a completely different place. The mobile operators aren't nearly as committed to it. They're all the mobile operators are saying, well, how are we actually going to make any money off data and stuff, or even off phone calls or anything? How are we going to make our money in times ahead? And if the business case doesn't actually stack up for this kind of stuff, then they're not going to pay well over the odds that they were prepared to do for 3G.
No, and that's the problem, isn't it? That 4G offers faster than land, broadband that we're used to at the moment, amazing speeds potentially. Yet. Oh, crikey, what was my point? So, I can't remember. It was obviously very important.
Well, it is. I mean, I know a lot of the mobile operators, and they don't really talk about this, but they're creating more of a kind of a Wi-Fi mesh kind of network in cities and things, and offloading a lot of what you think is 3G traffic onto that if they possibly can. So
sure, and my point was about data, the fact that 4G will be this much faster, but it just means that we'll use that much more data, and that's their worries.
Remember the start we had from the 3 network a couple of podcasts ago. I think it was 96% or 98% of their traffic now is just data. It's not voice,
and that's not earning the money. That's what they worry about, isn't it? There's all this going. I mean, we do bemoan the expense of their network, sorry, their data charges, but actually, 3 are one of the ones that sort of give you relatively good allowances for free as part of your package deal.
Everybody wants it. Nobody wants to pay for it.
Yeah, it's same with everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
Keeping on phones, there's been a bit of a palaver about something called Carrier IQ. Now, there's been information, misinformation, stories, missed stories, all sorts of stuff. Basically, there's a bit of software that's living and has lived on a lot of handsets across different providers. And that has the ability to read and understand all the actions that you carry out on your phone. I believe it was initially inspired to try and work out when things went wrong, what the user was doing, and iron out sort of network bugs, and did the call drop because someone got pressed something because it crashed, or did the call drop because of the network, you know, went down. Now, I haven't really kept up 100% of this, but basically all the carriers kind of said, nah, we don't have that. And then they said, no, we don't log anything. And then when they kind of came back, that said people found out that they did have these things on their handsets and they were logging stuff. Is that a fair summary?
I think so. I mean, it started off as Android only, and everybody was really hammering Android. And then it was on BlackBerry, and then it was on iOS 2, but it was only diagnostic mode in iOS, so everybody thought, well, it's not too bad. What I, for everybody saying it was really bad, and then everybody saying everybody's overreacting, I think the thing that was telling for me was Google putting out a statement saying, we didn't put this on, it's nothing to do with us. And then all the carriers were almost one by one saying, not us, not us, not us, not
so
us.
Who the hell put it on there?
Exactly, somebody has to do it. And there were so many people, you know, RIM as well, we don't do this. This is not software we have installed. And I think for me, what's come out is, I don't think it's really used in the UK. It is on iOS devices, but only if you're going to diagnostic mode. So they do seem to be using it purely to capture a particular problem. Because even in diagnostic mode, I don't think it captured any keystrokes. The Android one seems to be a bit worse than that, in that it captures everything. But well, again, it's only certain handsets it's enabled on.
Yeah, and they did say that one carrier came out and said blatantly, we don't have this on our handset, and it's not collecting any data anyway. And then they kind of said, well, okay, we have got it. And then someone proved that it was collecting data, and more data than it was supposed to be. And the makers of Carrier IQ said that that's because it had been implemented in the wrong way, and effectively someone was outputting the stuff that Carrier IQ was picking up and would normally sort of disappear into the ether, into nothingness. Yep. It was actually whacking that into a log file. Now, everyone's obviously saying, well, that was just a big mistake, it shouldn't be doing that. Carrier IQ said they're going to reassess their implementation guides to make sure it doesn't happen. But it does show that, you know, if a carrier wants to, and why wouldn't they want to? It's good for them to know all these things.
And a couple of days ago, the FBI turned around and said, we use it. So I think that was, I think eventually you've got to some source of maybe the truth, and maybe they have been forcing carriers to put it on. And maybe that's why the carriers are saying, well, we haven't put it on.
Yeah.
But we've been instructed to. And I don't know if they're playing with words around that.
Oh, now you're all getting really kind of conspiracy theory and everything.
You love it. That's no good.
Oh, that's rubbish. But similar story with Google Wallet came out just the other day, and researchers saying actually there's a whole load of data stored in Google Wallet, and really the only thing that's not that you don't get is the stuff that's stored securely on the secure chip, which is the first 8 or 12 characters of your credit card number. But just about everything else can be picked up. The issue there is to do with social engineering attacks and things as well. So even if it's, I think that is something to do with, you know, all this kind of data and stuff, you think, well, it's not really that important it's not really very personal, the kind of data that's there. But actually, if people get hold of this, then they can use it to do these kind of social engineering attacks. And, if people know, when you last made a phone call and with the number it was to, they can try and get all sorts of further information out of you, perhaps.
There we go. We'll watch this space. I think it might even unravel some more, but yeah, it's a interesting story. Now Jawbone released a kind of competitor to the Fitbit. Now we've covered the Fitbit on our podcast before because a number of us got one. Fitbit sort of tracks your steps and things, and this is glorified pedometer. Is it pedometer, is that the word?
Right.
So Jawbone was a competitor, and they released, and their idea was that they had a it was on your wrist rather than a little dongle, basically. But it was a very similar idea, but they've all been
except it was rubbish.
Yeah, turns out it was a load of pie. So
unfair.
It is unfair, but I don't have one, so I don't care. But basically, they've had a lot of failures and a lot of bricks happening.
So it was losing charge, it was bricking, and the reason it was, I think a lot of people appealed to them rather than the Fitbit, because you just put it in your wrist, it was showerproof, you could swim with it, so you didn't actually have to take it off. It was a little bit clunky the way it connected to the iPhone, but apart from that, the actual iPhone software looked really nice as well. But as we said, there were some issues with it. Job onto their credit, I've said, right, we found the issues, we're stopped sales right now. If you want a refund, great, you don't have to return the product, but we'll still give you money back. And once they've got the problems fixed, they will start selling again.
Not a great release and very expensive for them, no doubt, yet.
One good thing for us.
At least they've dealt with it right.
Well, one good thing for us was it was actually in sale in the UK because the Fitbit has been US only up to now. An email did pop through my inbox 2 days ago, however, that says Fitbit's finally coming to the UK for £80.
They know we're in the UK, Ian. They're tracking us.
Yes.
They know we're not supposed to have it. Just because I got that as well.
When I raised my support call with them, I was quite honest with them about I'm in the UK. Yeah. So I was, and I said, that's how much I loved your product.
I'm violating the wireless laws of the UK to have my Fitbit. But yes, it's coming.
Did they give you your $99 back? Oh no, that was.
To be fair, when I got in touch with them, Fitbit actually, because it had cracks in it, they were quite happy to replace it, but they would only ship it to a US address. As long as I took care of the actual US to UK charges, they were happy to replace.
So, having a UK version might make me go and buy one again, just purely because, well, as you know, I washed it and mine died. I don't think it completely died, but it wasn't very good after that. In fact, it was the second wash that actually happened on rather than the first.
So you had all sorts of problems with your Fitbit, but they didn't get all the bad press and they're not giving you your $100 back.
Yeah, they didn't say
that's
you could wash
poor,
it.
That's a bit poor, isn't it?
We've got, Netherlands anti-piracy group caught pirating. So what's this all about, Henry?
Well, I mean, my irony meter really just went off the scale when I read this. It's absolutely brilliant. There's an anti-piracy group, Brain or something in the Netherlands, the equivalent of the MPAA or, you know, these kind of people that... but they've been caught up in a huge copyright scandal in the Netherlands because a musician composed a track for use at a film festival. But then he later found it... being used without his permission for an anti-piracy campaign. he's now claiming at least €1 million for the unauthorized distribution of this work on DVDs and stuff. And then, as if it couldn't get any worse, a board member of a royalty collection agency offered to help him get his money back if the composer gave him 33% of any settlement that was received. So absolutely fantastic. I just couldn't pass that up on the irony stakes. Absolutely fantastic.
Sticking it to the man. Oh, and speaking of the man, we forgot about our big man story.
Big man.
Big man.
ScotRail no ticket. The YouTube sensation that's over the last few days, that's just it's taken over 1 million hits already of a young student on the train who either doesn't have a ticket, starts shouting and bawling and swearing, and then this big man, other passenger helps out the ticket collector and throws the lad off the off the train. What I found really interesting about the whole story is that whether, you know, we could debate the rights or wrongs of whether the poor chap was a poor chap or whether he was a wee nyaff. technical term.
No, a wee nyaff is just like a wee idiot. A wee idiot, I guess we need to explain as well. I can't think of a... what would you call it down south?
Chav.
Chav. Yeah, that would do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could debate the ins and outs of that, but what I found really interesting is that this is just a video taken on a mobile phone, and it's neither the protagonist or the victim that are making anything out of this. It's the guy that took the mobile phone footage that's on all the local radio stations. He's on the BBC. He's been flown down to London, all expenses paid. He'll be making quite a bit of advertising revenue off Google, I would have thought. For, you know, once your video hits 1 million hits, then you can start getting some revenue share. So actually, he's doing really rather well out of it. And the comments under the video, he's quite upfront about it, that he's really enjoying the fame. But there we go.
Right, so Rim, they're going to... I don't even understand this headline. I like this story. Go on, take it away.
No, just so it's really brief. So Rim obviously put their playbooks out there. They didn't really go into sales too much. Basically, they've got loads of tablets in inventory. They've not been selling them at all, and they're having to take a charge on their profits. You know, so there's $500 million they're having to take. So they went to the stock market and said, "By the way, this one hasn't really worked." I mean, really, the only tablet that's worked is the iPad 2, and the Amazon Fire. Everything else is a bit of a. I think the Nook over in the States has done quite well as well, but the rest are really, really, really small market
share.
Second
biggest selling tablet of the year was the HP PlayBook, and that was because they sold it at $99.
Exactly.
So yeah, that shows how good everyone else is at the moment.
And they also said they're delaying their new software update. So it just was just a whole bag of hurt.
Talking of the HP...
The really interesting thing, I think, about tablets, the best advert for a tablet I saw was, I think it was a Windows 7 advert, actually, with people in a house wandering around with a laptop trying to do some kind of video conferencing kind of thing. And I thought... You know, that's the best advert I've ever seen for a tablet. Who in their right mind starts wandering around the house with a laptop open, but you know, big and bulky, when you could use either a phone or a tablet?
I've done that.
Okay.
Sorry. I feel I should confess.
Like a even big better, Pac-Man it was on, in reverse.
Even better, it was on a Windows machine and it was on XP. So and it was last month. So
there you go. It does happen. Out in the wild. WebOS. So talking of the HP touchpad, basically, WebOS, the operating system, HP have decided what they're going to do with it, and they are going to make it open source and leave it to the hungry wolves to play with.
It's dead.
Yeah, pretty much. The only open source projects that really work are ones that have got a big driver behind it, for example, you know, an owner. So it sounds a bit like it. They're just doing this to placate the people who've got the stuff already. It will live for probably another year.
Yeah, I mean, you remember that Nokia did the same with Symbian. The sales weren't great. They open sourced it and then didn't get any kind of traction behind it. So they said, right, that's fine. We'll close source it again. I really can't see this really taking off. Although it will be great fun as a kind of as a hobby tool. I did have a bit of a look at it, and it'd be quite interesting to play around with, but I can't see it being any serious competitor to Android
they
or iOS at all.
$1.5 billion for the use of that, and now they just opened it up, giving it away. It's amazing.
Ouch.
Yeah, Facebook have scooped up Gowalla.
Oh, this kind of annoyed me, actually. So,
do you use Gowalla? I don't even. What is Gowalla? I've heard of it.
Foursquare.
So Gowalla was Gowalla and Foursquare were having a kind of battle. It was a kind of check-in battle.
Check-in battle. Right, I remember.
Yeah. Episode 22. I made that up. But Gowalla went through two or three.
43 minutes in.
Pretty much. Gowalla went through a couple of rewrites. Foursquare's won that battle. Gowalla went through, and the actual Gowalla app as well was lovely. And it was all about. You were basically collecting and creating objects in the virtual world as you did your travels, and you built up a kind of picture of your travels. It was a really nice app to use, and it actually allowed you to check in Foursquare and Facebook as well. So it basically, once the APIs all came along, it says to survive, we need to start supporting all these. But Facebook have bought it and killed it. You know, so it'll wind down in January. They hope to have a way of providing it to they can export your data, but. Facebook have done this with quite a few things recently. You know, they're just buying talent.
Well, they've got a lot of money. Why
they've
not?
They've got a lot of money. They're buying the talent. And it also highlights, you know, if you have your data in one of these apps, you know, there's a good chance you're going to lose it. It makes me fearful about Flickr. Could this happen to Flickr one day and just all my photos and all the comments and all my little stats and stuff against it just disappear?
Backupify. Does Backupify grabs all the photos off, but does it grab comments? I don't suppose it does.
No, it doesn't. And yeah. I just feel really exposed sometimes with some of the cloud services that we've got stuff in there, and I've got more faith in things like, you know, that Google are doing, just because it seems too big to fail. Whereas some of the
or Amazon.
Or Amazon.
And that's a
good
point.
Yes, you're quite right.
But these smaller
Amazon,
ones.
If you're willing to put up an Amazon S3 instance yourself and, you know, store all this stuff, you know, you could keep it, but then you don't get all the nice comments and social and the discovery.
Exactly. So that was a shame to see it go. It'd be interesting to see if we ever notice what they do at Facebook, because I think they just become assimilated and become one of the 10,000 or 20,000 that work there.
I have to say, Facebook recently have pulled their socks up about getting dev docs out, and the whole environment is a lot better now. So this talent scoop up is probably working, because I think they're coming out of their end more professional.
Yes, definitely.
Path, a social network, a private social network. Does that make sense?
Now, we could probably, this is Ian's little...
That's an oxymoron if ever I heard one. A private social network? What are you talking about?
I'm glad you said oxymoron. A podcast isn't complete without oxymoron in there. The IQ levels just shot right through the roof. The next four or five stories are all just little updates for iOS apps. And the one general takeaway is, for whatever reason, the last two or three weeks has seen some really polished apps coming out. Really, you know, just, I don't know, just a real jump in quality.
Christmas. Everyone buying their new stuff, wanting to see the new things.
Yeah, but, you know, so Path was already out before. Their updated app, however, when it came out, is gorgeous. Some really nice design ideas in there that I've not seen in any other iOS apps or Android apps. It is a private social network. This was the whole thing about... You send it just, I think it's 50 maximum people. It was more about sharing, I guess, sharing with people you want to share with and comfortable. It's all kind of locked down. So I know a few people at work were using it quite effectively and just sharing things amongst themselves. And they were enjoying it from that point of view. It was they felt they could share and talk about it and just in their little closed group. And it was locked away on like Facebook or Twitter. And it's all out there and people find it eventually. The version 2 that's come out, really lovely app. But you can have things on it that says share to Twitter and share to Facebook. And as soon as you start seeing that, you're like, I'm just as well using Facebook. Yeah. And I feel that's ultimately what's going to kill it. I think it's a lovely, lovely, you know, application. If you're about to start developing on iOS and Android, download that app and just see what they've done with it. Some really unique features in there, really well put together. But you're just going to use Facebook.
I know this isn't going to help our time spread, shall we say, but Facebook have now been told that they're not allowed to automatically opt people into things anymore.
Is that right?
Or rather, they can't change privacy policy and wholesale opt people in and on a whim. They can add features and add you into those features on a whim.
Got you.
But they cannot now, which they have done in the past, change the privacy and then made everyone like open. So they can't do that again. So anything existing, they cannot change your settings on.
So have they been legally told to do that?
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent.
So what are these other updates that you've seen?
Flipboard. You've heard me, you've probably, well, I think all three of us have probably got Flipboard on the iPad.
Lovely.
Yes, it's beautiful.
And it is a lovely app. And they've talked about Flipboard for a long time coming to iPhone, and it's eventually came out. There was a little update for the iPad app that brought in a login service, so you could create an account. And if you created a Flipboard account, your account then gets shared between iPhone and iPad. The really nice thing about the iPhone app was, instead of flipping left to right, it was a vertical flip, so taking best advantage of the screen. And a lot of people didn't expect it. And when you first tried it, you're like, oh, that feels... It doesn't flip, and it felt a bit alien. But after about 2 minutes, it just felt so natural. And again, they've really thought about
like a notepad.
Well, they've just thought about how the app...
Well, a Rolodex.
Yeah, but they've thought about how the app should work on that phone. And again, design-wise, I thought it was really, really slickly done. And
Your comments were, you felt it was a bit too small, really, but actually, for what the space they'd got, they'd done a good job.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. And it's actually, I'm surprised that when I have a spare 5 minutes, it's actually very easy to actually get through content and read it, and it's perfect. Really, really nicely done. So highly recommended. Two thumbs up for that one.
So then iPlayer's had an update as well.
Yeah.
Okay, good. They can, but I mean, one of the big things that they're now supporting on iOS is supporting
Xbox
streaming over 3G. Yeah, not that yet. So you can now stream your shows over 3G, of which they're not doing that on Android yet. But and they also think that it could, you know, cripple some carriers. We will see. I imagine it might well do.
So it's every UK carrier, and the big thing for anybody with an Apple TV, it also supports AirPlay as well.
Yep. Microsoft have been releasing iOS stuff. They've released a SkyDrive app for iOS, and they've also released a Connectimals game. I haven't downloaded or seen either of them. But an interesting move there, because they've released their Xbox app as well, haven't they? Have you seen the Xbox Live app?
I have, and it is and the show notes made a lot more sense when the Xbox story was right at the front, because it talked about that app. The SkyDrive is like, you get, is it 25 gig cloud storage? So if you've got a Windows account, like you get 25 gig with SkyDrive. The SkyDrive app on the iOS just lets you see documents, lets you see photos, and you can send a link out to people.
So now you can see it on your iOS.
Yeah, not as and Connectimals is a proper game. So that is the first time they've brought out a game for iOS. And if you download it and you have a Kinect, it also unlocks content on your Connectimals on the Xbox. And seemingly it is actually very good if you're into like having a little cute virtual pet. So I'm sure you'll be downloading it straight away, Chris.
I'm on it.
Looking at your video right now, and it's just like I've got a Connectimals right in front of me. I've got a Connectimals Chris with his little fuzzy beard.
Connectable Chris.
I'm the only one cute enough. Right, GTA 3. GTA 3 coming to iOS and Android. Only high spec devices are going to be able to run this thing. So if you've got a very recent Android phone or iPad 2 or whatever. In fact, iPad's doing quite well. It's iPad 1 and 2, iPhone 4 onwards. So yes, basically, if you've got a powerful thing, you can run GTA 3 on a mobile device, which is pretty amazing. GTA 3 being, was that the first 3D, fully 3D one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you
and
go.
And it's out tomorrow. So December 15th, or today, if I actually do the podcast today, or tomorrow, today. So there.
We're going into temporal anomalies by doing
it
that.
It is timey-wimey.
$4.99, so I imagine it will just be $4.99 over here as well. But there you go. Look out for that. It's out now. Well, it's not, but it is, you know. I want to do a quick note that I say I've been playing Elder Scrolls Skyrim a bit, little bit late on the mark here, and only scratching the surface. But it's
that's why you've got the beard.
Yeah, I haven't had time to shave anymore. It's pretty incredible time sync, really. It's as long as you don't look pretty too close at textures and stuff, it's an amazingly pretty game, and very, very deep. And just to say that our mate Paul, he's totally dug in and is losing life to this game, basically. Is losing sleep for sure. So he's loving it, and he doesn't really like games like that. So that's something to say. But as soon as I've actually cracked on through, I don't know that I'll actually complete, seeing as it takes about 200 to 300 hours, apparently. Something stupid. Or at least there's that much content in there that you
seriously?
Can.
Seriously?
I think so. I think no. I think the hardcore gamers can complete it in, you know, 20 odd hours.
I just like seeing the YouTube videos of somebody hitting a bear and it launching over a castle.
there are some funny things. Like if you turn around too quickly, sometimes you see mammoths that have been spawned in midair. It is quite funny. But still, that's kind of part of the quirk of it. Is part of that anyway. So it's a good game, and as you know, once I get enough through it or get to the end, I will report.
Good game, good game.
Certainly fun at the moment. Big news in Xbox land. The new user interface went live eventually. It took a long time for them to actually get it out, but we've got it now, and it's effectively the new look, kind of Microsoft style of Metro, I think they're calling it, with all tiles and things like that, and a good looking beast it is too. Basically, it's got more space for sort of dedicated apps, and we're going to see more and more apps being released. So videos and 4 on demand on ITV Player, and hopefully next year iPlayer.
Don't say iPlayer.
No, sorry, BBC. I will say, because they haven't actually said it is iPlayer, have they?
No. So the first kind of new apps came out yesterday. So I think the Dash came out last week for everybody. But YouTube, and there was a couple of music video streaming services came out yesterday, and very nice they are too. Works really nicely.
Yep. So.
Oh, you've got Kinect, haven't you?
I have. I've not used it. Right, my Kinect turns on every time I turn on my Xbox. I haven't waved or talked to my Kinect in months.
But you can see Xbox, Bing, Batman, and it'll automatically search for Batman.
Or I could use my controller to find Batman. But yes, you are. It might make sense, actually. So there may be times when it's actually quicker to do that.
I just want to hear a recording of you going, Xbox, Bing, Batman.
Yes, just really straightforward stuff.
You know, you sound like you've escaped from a slip bang advert.
Bing, just call me Barry.
But, I mean, as part of this, they did... So they did release the iOS app as well, and that looks amazing.
Oh, that's true.
Like having a little Xbox dashboard in your iPad.
Yep, and it's equally slow. I just want it to display who's online, and it takes about 18 button clicks to get there. Yeah. Whereas I can just fire up the Hero Reach app and click on online, and it tells me. Dead simple.
Yawn, yawn, yawn. It's all about the service for you.
Yeah,
I'm just happy that I've got my avatar and his little pet in there.
I'm shocked. That's all I can say.
Okay, that's the end of our news for.
Oh, well, there is one little more thing.
Oh, go
Halo Waypoint also came out.
I tried to
iOS.
Skip over that.
I know you did, but as I pawned last night on Halo Reach, I felt that I had to mention Halo Waypoint.
So Halo Waypoint was that kind of website and stats, basically super stats, I'll call it, on all things Halo. So, and it tracked it all the way back to Halo 1, I think, pretty much.
Yes.
And basically now they've released an iPad app.
So the stats are now out on the iPhone, or iOS and Android, and also Windows Phone 7. It's free on Windows Phone 7, but it costs on Android and iOS.
Yeah, so... So for the three people, I guess.
Well, the three people in the UK get a free app, basically, and all the other millions have to pay for it.
They weren't exactly laying a lot on the line, were they? But it sounded like inside the app, it can sort of track where you are in the game in real time ish, and therefore show you when you're near like weapons that have spawned.
There's this Atlas companion experience which I bought within the app, but it feels like a book guide to each of the maps. I don't know if I'm just missing the point, but I couldn't see what it was doing.
You've bought the wrong thing, haven't you? it's like those people that buy the Angry Birds app. That's not the app. It's the how to beat all the levels.
So I definitely have bought the right app.
So anyway, so it's sort of selling it as being this near real-time location thing that overlays you on a map, but you're saying actually it's a load of bullpap.
I think so.
Okay. I was going to say, we are obviously the slickest podcast in town.
honestly, tonight's been the best for months.
Yeah. Tonight has gone wrong, but it's also gone wrong in the past. And as we're on the 100th episode, we thought we'd roll out a few of our blooper reels. And just before we get onto predictions for next year and looking back at the year we just had, we'll roll some of those now.
Our first story this week is back to our news. Oh, see, I can't.
Change the angle, change the...
Starting. Oh, this is what happens at work when I'm doing one of these bloody well screencasts. See, because I feel like I've got to say something, I can't do it.
Instantly,
I'm annoyed as well.
Go straight to the story.
There's my phone ringing now, yep. So I'll probably drop my connection again. good stuff. there's nothing much to say about that apart from what a noob.
I don't remember like seeing like a message to say, do you want to buy some, what do you call it? You're gonna have to edit that. Right, but so what do you call that thing?
What, data?
Yeah, that's it. Right, okay. I'll start again from there then.
Right, who knew that Shaquille didn't know what the word data is?
Come back, Shaq.
This is the pressure that recording puts under you. He was in such a good... And I was listening back to this other day, and he was in such a good flow, and he just got to that point where it's like, oh, what's the word? We also have a laugh now and again.
It is Monday, the 12th of July, and you're listening to Digital Outpop. So I've completely cocked up.
We need to keep that one.
I'll just go straight back in again. It is Monday, the 12th of July, and you're listening to episode 54 of Digital Outbox.
What a child. I can cut my giggles out.
Am I going to have to do that again?
Yes.
It is Monday. No. This isn't hard. This isn't hard. Right. It is. No, it's not.
How many goes do you want?
Pro to the last. Big opcha.
Facebook has hit it's 500 million. I'm never going to be able to pronounce this now. I'm going to start that again.
500 millionth users.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't work either.
I think I need to do it again. So, Facebook, they've announced they've hit their... I've done it again. I've messed up. See, when you mess something up and then you have to focus... I have got an ending this week anyway. I deliberately do this just so I've got an ending. You'll also notice Henry doesn't appear in any of these. Basically, me and Chris cock up all the time.
Henry just looks at us. It is Wednesday the... Oh, crap, it's the 10th. We haven't got the right date at all.
I deliberately didn't change that.
You get... I nearly got it right. Okay, I'm not going to stop my recording. I'm just going to carry on.
No, that's fine.
It is Wednesday the 10th of November, and is it... Oh, crap.
That is just a small selection of our file up, because there's actually quite a bit more.
Yeah, and I think we're going to, as a super treat for all our listeners, we will put together a little podcast, maybe to be released after this episode, right? I'm looking at you.
You've just committed me to a...
Yes, I did.
You've committed him to days of work.
What a rip-roaring cock of a man you are.
We will put some bloopers and some of our best bits over our 100 episodes.
And by we, you mean Ian. let's just get that straight.
In a little special episode, to be released before Christmas. What's your time looking in? Anyway, let's look back.
He's lost the will to live now. He might be on holiday, but he's going to have to spend his whole week before.
I think we should have a quick look to this coming year. Let's look at some of our predictions for this coming year. Can be anything you like, but you know.
What, you mean the ones we've written down?
Yeah, preferably the ones you've written down. Preferably to do with the tech world as well. Henry, why don't we start with you?
Well, that's great, because I could use all of Ian's, because I looked at Ian's before and I thought, oh,
they're better.
Yeah, I agree with all of them.
I now see the folly of coming last in this little game. I'll just look like I've copied everybody else. Thanks for that.
I'll not steal your thunder, Ian. I'll stick with a couple of mine, which were probably not really that controversial. Samsung become the number one mobile manufacturer by market share.
Wow.
Taking over from Nokia. And Apple's not going to release a TV next year. So I know there's a lot of hype about that, but I'm sure they won't.
Wow.
So. Yeah. So my gaming wise, my predictions are basically I'm going to play games. So my predictions cannot go wrong. I'm going to R Factor 2 is the sort of this a big PC driving sim basically, and that R Factor 2 is due out early next year, and so I'm very much looking forward to that. But I think as far as new boxes and new PS3s and Xboxes and stuff. I think we're going to have big rumour ramp up next year. But I don't think either of them really want to announce anything solid in next year. And so I think there's going to be a bit of a standoff there. If one of them announces a product, the other one would be hot on their tails. But I would predict that we're not going to see it until 2013. And I don't think that's even going to be announced next year, if they can have their way. Anyway, I think we're going to see Siri on iPad 3. I think that's pretty much done and dusted. Whether they will port back Siri to the older handsets and devices.
Definitely not.
So my prediction would also be, I don't think they're going to leave it as a selling point. I think they're going to release a big product. I think they have to. I think Apple, this is going to have to release a big product next year. We've had incremental all this year, and they've got to stamp a post-Jobs product on the world. So we'll see.
I can't see that happening. The only thing I can see them doing, not so much a product, but perhaps a service, some sort of payment around your iTunes account is a possibility. Whether that comes next year or 2013,
I think I think the iPhone 5 is going to be a different device, not radically different, but size wise, shape wise, and all those kind of things. You know, the bits that make it look different. They're definitely not going to have another one that looks like the current model. I think it's going to be quite radically different. That would be my guess. That's why it's predictions, isn't it? But I guess another thing about I'm looking for next year, and I can't see the next big thing yet. I think we're going to see a year of incremental stuff, just based on the fact that it's the economy's a bit subdued. So yeah, tweaks rather than revolution next year is a prediction. How about you, Ian?
So I guess it's a fairly safe bet. iPad 3, I think, will be out early next year. It will have that Retina display that everybody's been talking about, and I will be buying it. I can't wait for that.
You've had the year off, haven't you?
I've had the year off. I managed to miss out on iPad 2. I feel very left behind compared to you two. But I do think there are some applications coming out now that do take advantage of the iPad 2's better processing. That I'm certainly noticing compared to when I see some of the Times and Shaquille's iPad in particular. I just think, ooh, that's starting to hurt now. I guess slightly different to Chris, I think we will see a new Xbox next year. And the reason why I think that is that they'll want to be, they're not going to beat the Wii. So the Wii's coming out there. That'll be out there next year. I see that as being a bit of a flop. I think.
Yeah, I can't see that taking off at all.
I think they've lost a lot of the kind of, almost like the kind of, there was a market share that they had with the Wii that was new to them. And I think over time, it's just eroded. They've become so left behind compared to Xbox and PS3. I think people are always going to see them as almost like a kind of secondary kids market. And although the kids market is big, I just can't see that taking off. And I think Microsoft will, round about the time that the Wii is launching, I think we'll see a new Xbox, and it'll be 2013.
Xbox gain their big advantage that they've got at the moment. Well, as I say big advantage, not really. Their strength of the Xbox at the moment is because they released quickly this time around in this cycle.
Yes.
They got a foothold, and then they had a market to go with.
And more another little prediction. I do think we'll see, when we've seen, quarter after quarter, Apple growth just almost astronomical. It will slow. Because I just think you're reaching a saturation point, and all, as Chris has said, with the economy as well, there's only so much people can buy, and it gets to a point where it is saturated. I mean, you've seen it if you look at the Wii, it saw massive growth, and then it very quickly tailed off. I don't think we'll see it quickly tailing off with Apple, but I think we will.
No, I don't. I can't see that tailing off, really, just because of the strength of the Apple brand.
Absolutely.
Actually, it's an aspirational item that people want to buy.
There was a chap at work yesterday who was like, I'm probably going to pick up my first iPhone ever. It was just because a lot of his mates are buying them still, and it's just...
Let's put it this way. Look, it's probably a bit more than that. 5-6%, something like that, of the PC market at the moment is Apple, Apple products, Apple computers. And so there's an awful lot of expansion there. And every time buying decision comes up at the moment, you probably recommend Apple to people. I think it's a good idea for people, if you know, especially if they're not that into their computers, and have, you know, haven't been living with PC for X, you know, they're not so ingrained that they can't get away from it. So I think there's an awful lot of expansion there, and people love buying Apple stock, as in, you know, how much is a share at the moment in Apple? Is something like $500.
I agree there's expansion on the desktop laptop side, but I think on the kind of mobile space, and I think we will see credible competitors in the tablet space, and I think that's where a lot of the profit comes in. They're not making a great deal of money when it comes to laptops and desktops. So I think you will see that the growth will still be there, but just not as stellar as it has been. I just can't see that continuing. Which is no bad thing. I think it will just maybe make them realise that they can't just do the kind of small iterations that we've talked around. You know, yeah. they do need to do something fresh. You know, Samsung is a credible competitor. The devices that are coming out there now, they don't have that massive design lead that they had maybe 2-3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, then just quickly then, see if we can get the best and worst of tech, best tech and worst tech of the year. Henry, if we start with you.
Best tech of the year, the iPad 2, clearly. Great. I found that absolutely fantastic. And I pretty much left my MacBook Pro behind. Which, tend not to use it much at all.
That's amazing. So, that is amazing.
It really is. It does most things. There are still things that I get a little bit annoyed at that I can't do, but basically I just don't do them. So
that's not that important.
So that's it. And the other thing is best funny thing to put in the best tech, but it's a website called Trello.com launched by Joel Spolsky in September. We've just really started using that at work for just posting up what people in the team are kind of working on. Really nice kind of interface. We were just finding that there's a lot of stuff that we're applications and stuff that we're using at work, and sometimes it's difficult to get a handle on who's working on what and what still needs to get picked up. And Trello.com has really been really great for us at work in terms of kind of interacting and stuff.
Best tech doesn't have to be hardware, can be software.
So there you go. Worst tech, I would go with, because I came late to the party and you guys had already picked a load of things, but I would say NFC for me was something that I've had great hopes for some time. And really, it's not that it's really bad technology per se, it's just that it's just not deliberate at all. Yeah, it's just not. And yet it's really been hyped. So, in terms of
3D
delivering
TV
on hype, yeah. it's way, way down there, you know.
Well, you're good.
I mean, whatever you say about Apple products, that at least they deliver some of the, you know, a percentage of the hype. NFC's delivered nothing. So
they don't deliver the hype. They create the hype and then tell you that they've delivered it, and then we believe them. That's how it goes. So for me, best tech, I concur with your iPad 2 statement. I've surprised myself with how much I like my iPad, and I'm exactly the same. I've got a massive MacBook Pro downstairs that just sort of sits there occasionally waiting for me to when I'm working downstairs, obviously I'll use it, but any other time, any other thing, it's the iPad all the way. So yeah, great bit of kit, and I'm quite surprised how it's seeped into my routine. I love my little mic that I bought as well. My little mic. It's a huge thing.
I was going to say it's bigger than you.
It's a foot tall. So my Blue Yeti Pro mic. I'd love to hook it up to a proper.
It's so big. It's your friend. It's your friend, Mike.
So I want to hook it into a proper soundboard at one point, and because it's got proper professional outputs and stuff. So just see how it goes. Anyway, so I've enjoyed that. Worst, I think. It's not really tech, it's tech related. The fact that I've been annoyed this year that a lot of the big announcements and releases seem to have been happening in the US and with no sign of them coming over here. So like the Kindle Fire, I know this week we've had rumours that it's going to come over here, but we still don't know. And that was a massive release that we're missing out on because they can't get the finger out over content deals. And iCloud was a bit of a pooper. I think it's ahead of people's internet connections at the moment because it crippled my internet for a while until I realized what was going on.
And just when you see iCloud, how, and I know the new update in beta for iOS fixes this, but how can they release a product which shares a picture automatically to every other device, even, and I've got no control over it?
Yeah,
so I take a screenshot, and next thing it's everywhere. It's like, what?
Yeah.
I don't want that. And the only way to delete it is to actually uninstall iCloud and start again.
I mean, yes. If you've got nothing to hide, then you've got nothing to be scared of. And I've also been annoyed this year that no tablets have taken it and stuck it at Apple yet. They've got nowhere near. And I know this is 2010, but I've only had my first experience of a Magic Mouse this year, and I
2011.
When was it released? This was a 2010 product, I think. But I hate it with a passion, and I want to destroy it. And
I hated it as well.
You should never
Magic Mouse make it disappear.
I tell you what, I've got a nice, iMac going here, and with the Magic Mouse, it's horrible to use. And I plugged in my nice Logitech and Performance MX, and off I went, and it suddenly made a lot more sense, and I was much more productive. It is, for a thing that's supposed to make you productive, that mouse is terrible.
All you had to do was open up your mobile phone, search for Ian, phone him up, and say, what do you think about Apple mice in general? And I said, don't buy one.
I didn't buy one, though. It came with the bloody thing. They can't obviously sell them.
No, what you should have done is what I did, which is, I don't want that. I want the Magic Trackpad, which works fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that would have been the route. Okay. Anyway, your predictions. Oh, no, you're not your predictions. We've had them. Your best and worst tech.
So my best tech, I love my new iMac. It's a glorious beast of a machine. It did cost an awful lot of money, so yeah, I need to hold my hands up.
I'm still paying mine off the credit card.
You know, it was over $2,000 I've invested. But that SSD is fast. It boots really quickly. When I fire up my VMs, I don't even know they're running. For all I know, they're running right now. It's just a beast of a machine. And I'm surprised how much I love the glossy screen. For all my time that I moaned about the glossy screen, I don't want it. So the second bit of tech that I've loved this year is a Fitbit. Me, Chris, and Brian picked one up from America. Worked great initially. It still works great for me, but I've got a load of cracks in it, and it's all a bit, I don't know, it just feels a bit fragile. But I do love the stats, and I've loved all the kind of feedback it's got. You watched yours, of course, and it's...
Yeah, I mean...
It's gone.
Kudos to them. The first hot wash cycle it went on, it survived very nicely. It just came out smelling nice. And okay, once the water had dried out of it, it actually worked pretty well. And again, to give them their dues, even after the second hot wash cycle, I couldn't believe I did it a second time. It still worked, although the battery life was severely compromised and the screen no longer showed up.
Bless. So,
but actually, that's pretty good going for something that's not supposed to be... not supposed to be washed.
Well, there we go. I mean, on Digital Outbox, we bring you destruction tests.
Yeah, exactly. Involuntary destruction tests. However, I will... I may well pick one up now that they're over in the UK.
Yes, for a price like £80, as we've already said. To do a little game one, Halo Reach, most played game of the year. I know that was last year's game. Probably, I think it was 2010 it came out.
We've hammered that game.
Even last night, and it was still awesome. And the one that I didn't really talk about, I picked up an Airport Extreme because my old router started getting very flaky, and I've got a real hatred for routers. They just seem to fail when you just think, I've bought one, why have you failed? There's no rhyme or reason. It just starts doing quirky things. So I eventually picked up an Airport Extreme, and it's been rock solid. And it actually makes things like waking Max from sleep really easy. Instead of having to send a command to do it, I just click on Mac Mini and it wakes and it's there and it's great. And AirPlay works on my Mac Mini really, really well. You know, I just select it in my iPhone, and it's sitting there sleeping, and it wakes up, sends a video over, starts playing, and it's awesome.
The benefits of a fully enclosed environment, basically, isn't it?
Yes. Worst tech, PS3. Not only did I give my passwords away, I've just got no real inclination to switch it on and update any of the firmware updates. Every time I switch that damn box on, I need another update. And then usually it's an update, like we've fixed a spelling mistake somewhere. You need to download the whole operating system again. This really gets right on my nips.
I don't call it a PS3 anymore. I call it a Blu-ray player.
That's yeah,
it
well,
me. That's it for me.
I might pick up a Blu-ray player and get rid of that.
There you go. So, okay, there you go. That was our best of worst. That is the end of our 100th episode. It's all over for until the next 100.
I'm kind of glad because this has been an absolute nightmare tonight.
Well, I mean, if you will unplug things halfway through, Ian, what do you expect?
Let's not mention Wi-Fi.
If you want to find out about us, if you want to find out more about us and find out what we've been talking about in the previous 100 episodes, you can at www.digitaloutbox.com. If you want to talk to us about our podcast or any, you've got any tech issues or anything you want to chat through, email info@digitaloutbox.com. You can get us on Twitter, Digital Outbox, and we're also on Skype, Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. Ian, where can we find you?
I am on Twitter as Sweeper, and my blog is iand.net.
And Henry?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter as TalkRhubarb.
And so all that's left for me to say is thank you very much for listening and getting this far.
Thank you.
Thank you for the support over this year and a half. Oh, no, it's 2 years, isn't it?
It's 2.5 years.
Luminek, 2.5 years. And hopefully...
No, it just feels like that. It's only been an hour and a half.
Next year, we're hoping to move to a bit of a tighter schedule. Plans are afoot. So hopefully get back to weekly on a set day. But we will see. And hopefully we'll see
Chris,
you there.
You're wanting podcasts to be a bit like you, aren't they? A bit shorter.
Don't you start. All angles, mostly downwards. Right.
I thought you meant squishy around the edges. You want a podcast with jowls
and love handles.
Yes.
Love handles.
Watch out for our little special clips as well. Hopefully they'll come out soon. Thanks, Ian. Yeah. And we will speak to you in the new year. Have a happy Christmas. Speak to you soon.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, I'm fully aware that we've got enough clips in tonight's episode alone to probably do a podcast of bloopers. But one jumps out at me, and I know I'm going to have to go and do another podcast special now, just because Chris has volunteered me, but this jumps out to me. There you go. Job done.
No.
That's 2 hours, I'll never get back.
You know what the best bit is? It's 3 hours. I won't get back tomorrow. Put it all together.
You're not wrong.
Why do I think right now Henry's sitting there thinking, "Ugh, it's 2 hours of my life I'll never get back." it's been good.
It has been good.
Been emotional.
It's not really been emotional, although I probably was in danger of losing the head at one point.
No, you were. You were. I could see you quietly seething. You were so fuming, you were gone quiet. That's the time you really got to watch. Oh, Ian's gone really quiet. He's that annoying.
I am so glad I wasn't recording that video.
We were just killing ourselves.
That didn't help.
That made it even funnier.
I know it did. You know exactly my how to press my buttons. Press my buttons.
You can twist your buttons if you like.
If you'd pressed your buttons, maybe the thing wouldn't have fallen out in the first place.
I blame that in the handbag. Whoever mentioned handbag to me. In fact, I think it was me. So I need to blame myself. Chris, yours has gone to the great Fitbit.
Yeah, to be fair to my Fitbit, I did put it on a full wash cycle, and
you're also muted.
No, you've muted him.
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks.
I can hear him fine.
I can't hear anybody.
Oh,
no, it's all you, Ian. Oh, it's great, isn't it? The way he just assumes it's somebody else's fault.
Deep, 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 deep. This is going well. Hello.
He just assumes it's somebody else.
We can hear you.
Well, that's great. Why don't we talk about Ian's tech, Chris?
Yeah, I can't hear either of you two.
Right, well, we'll just talk about Ian. We'll just talk about Ian, and he can sort it out in the edit.
In the edit, he's going to discover all this. Ian smells.
actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start recording. Oh, he's gone.
He's left.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. I was going to start recording his side as well from this side, just so he could put it in with him going, oh.
I think he'll have recorded it, won't he? Because he'll have it at his end. Oh, here we go. Super excited. Hello?
Still can't hear anything.
What? No.
You must be muted.
Oh, this is
You've pressed a button somewhere wrong. The funny thing is, Chris, you can see him getting more and more annoyed.
Yeah, he's definitely.
He's great. He's fuming. He's fuming.
That's
great.
Oh, this is going to piss him off even more.
I think he did. I think it was his handbag. It was his handbag.
Do you know, I think the Google plugin has crashed totally. So I've stopped and started to hang out. I can't do anything. And all I can see is you two laughing. It's winding me up. I know you can hear me.
We're going to have to close the whole bloody line.
I need to reboot.
What, you mean reboot the...
I don't know how else to fix the Google plugin.
What, reboot your PC? Oh, no, you can't hear me. Shit. Yeah, we'll just keep recording. Oh, so now you can't hear me. Which was? Was that your cable unplugged?